Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. This is not to say that anything is conclusive, because it's not. As I've said, I mean, you know, get me on a bone and I might, you know, keep chewing on it. Look at 2020, 2021, 2022 around that whole subject matter. But it is about the tertiary, the boundary, those discussions around this situation with Charlie Kirk. And I've said a couple of things regarding how he was very, you know, very much a Christian, very, very, very pro-Israel. But then I said to you, until he wasn't, which was recently, like within the last couple of months, wasn't sure if it was a month or wasn't sure if it was a couple months. So to that end, I want you to hear this. It's part of an interview with a journalist. I'm not sure his name. I'm just working off my phone right now, so let me see if I can see it. And I'm just going to let you listen to this first part, then listen to a second part. So this first part is he's kind of set up that, hey, you know, Charlie Kirk is, you know, very much owes some of his growth to being pro-Israel. You know, pro-Israel supporters, pro-Israel money helped his growth and so on. And this author's name, I doesn't have it. I'll kind of speak over if I hear it. But this is under an interview about this author, which I think is a Max something. I'll speak over top or pause real quick if I do hear it. And so he's going from the idea of, hey, Netanyahu's trying to steal the thunder of the death, saying how much he was pro-Israel and a beacon of free speech and so on, upon almost as soon as the news came out. And so here's somebody saying, yeah, not so fast.
Donors, and he claimed that Charlie Kirk was the greatest friend of Israel and that the radical left and Muslims were responsible for his death before a suspect was even caught. So Netanyahu is trying to milk this for Israel's benefit, and people close to...
Okay, so we'll listen to that. People close to. This is a tweet. Charlie Kirk was murdered for speaking truth and defending freedom. A lion-hearted friend of Israel. He fought the lies and stood tall for Judeo-Christian civilization. I spoke to him only 2 weeks ago and invited him to Israel. Sadly, that visit will not take place. We lost an incredible human being. His boundless pride in America and his valiant belief in free speech will leave a lasting impact. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. This is Netanyahu. This is Netanyahu. So again, you know, that's not true. I spoke to people
close to Charlie Kirk, including a longtime friend with access to the Trump administration, started talking to me through various contacts I had in Washington and in the media and telling me this is not true. Charlie Kirk was undergoing a transformation. He was actually under pressure from Netanyahu because of what we saw at the TPUSA Student Action Summit in July, where he was platforming figures who were saying Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad asset, that Israel was actually...
Mossad asset that Israel was actually... Okay, so here we go. It is Max Blumenthal, thegrayzone.com. So Israel was actually...
committing genocide in Gaza. Comic Dave Smith said that. Tucker Carlson mocking the Zionist billionaire Bill Ackman. And he was under enormous pressure, and they were trying to shut him down, and he was defying them. He actually privately...
So this is at a July action event with multiple speakers. And he's giving time to, quite opposite of his previous stance of pro-Israel all the time, people are saying quite the opposite. Now, continuing.
Despise Benjamin Netanyahu. I learned from two sources, one inside the administration, that he was actually lobbying against the U.S. striking Iran.
And so where I interrupted was, you know, he personally despised Netanyahu. Okay, now we're lobbying against the U.S. striking Iran.
In June, and that he was almost alone.
By the way, you brought that first. The vice president yesterday, hosting Charlie's show posthumously, said that.
Well, there you go. I mean, there you go. I mean, a lot of what I reported is reflected in public statements, and we're learning more.
All right, I'm going to stop that and maybe find more there, but that I wanted to share with you. And then I'm going to go ahead and play what J.D. Vance actually said. So give me just a moment to find that. Okay, I have actually not listened to this. I've only seen it tagged. So this is about a minute and a half. We'll just let it roll. This is J.D. Vance.
But that's true about foreign policy. Like, I remember Charlie calling me and saying, I'm really worried. And this is back in the summer when the Iran strikes were sort of first being contemplated. He said, I'm really worried this is going to become another regime change war in the Middle East that we get trapped in. And I said, Charlie, first of all, like, have some faith here. The President of the United States is not a believer in perpetual war. He knows the mistakes of Iraq and Afghanistan. He doesn't want to repeat them. But Charlie was very clear that he could support Israel. And by the way, he did eventually support the strikes on the nuclear facility while simultaneously saying, no more. This can't become a bigger thing. This can't become a broader thing. And again, I think he modeled a really good way of applying pressure, of disagreeing when you do disagree, but also recognizing that so long as you're operating in good faith, we're all part of the team. And that's something I'm going to try to take from Charlie's legacy is not that we're always right, not that we can't take criticism, but that we all should try to work together.
It did worry me because I think your description is perfect. He's one of the very few who took that message and stood.
I think this might then be going to a different area with Tucker Carlson, but I'm not 100% sure that this is a continuation. There is something else I'd like you to listen to from Tucker Carlson.
By it, I mean, right to the very end, this cannot get bigger. We don't want another regime change war. But man, some of the people who send money to Turning Point, his donors, were very tough on him. So tough on him that I could feel it. You know, I talked to him a lot in the last few months, and he was under enormous pressure. He never bent. He never became bitter.
He kept his integrity to the very end.
To the very end. And I just think it's important to say that because it's true.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tucker.
All right. So there is that. And then let me see if there's something else that I wanted to share with you. So while I know we're going a little bit afield, because I initially just want to say, listen, I didn't make this up. He did go from totally pro-Israel to questioning, and that needs to become a part of the understanding of the investigation. Now, it can't lead the investigation, right? It was probably the Israelis. I mean, that's not how an investigator works. Actually, an investigator can have a gut feeling. But they then have to follow up, and they have to, if it's a hard, you know, route to take to get there, at times it can go, I still feel like this is worthy of continuing. This lead is still something. But my point there is that it's not made up. And Netanyahu was putting out a falsity to say, to act like there weren't issues there at the end. So I'm going a little far afield as I'm, you know, looking for these things that I've saved, only in that right now I'm just going to let you listen to this odd interview. I'd mentioned it in one or two of my episodes where a guy's talking about the assassination on camera. Like, I saw such and such and this and that. And all of a sudden, two people that are just anonymous just come and like get in front of him, in between him and the camera. And it turns into even a shoving match, possibly a shouting match. Like, just big, brawny guys, a really, really odd thing, worthy of at least documenting here for the record. So I'm going to let that play. Give me just a moment here. So it says something like, he has a red shirt on, a white hat. Says something like American comeback or something like that. So let's just listen to what he has to say here.
Okay. I was standing from probably the third row in the bottom. I saw him. I heard the shot ring out. I looked to my left and then I looked over to my right. I saw him slump over in his chair forward. He slumped over. He had blood coming from the left side of his neck down his shirt and he slumped over and he was carried off. Get off me! Get off me!
We're running high right now.
Yeah, I can't say there's much to that, but it was nice to listen to, and I'm not going to try to edit that out. I don't know what he said that was controversial or particularly enlightening versus the standard account. So maybe it's just that these folks felt like talking about Charlie Kirk just dying was in poor taste, as opposed to, well, yeah, eyewitnesses can give accounts. So maybe that was it, but maybe you'll hear something that I missed regarding the regular account. I'm not noting anything of importance here that might be particularly revealing. Let's listen to it again.
Okay. I was standing from probably the third row in the bottom. I saw him. I heard the shot ring out. I looked to my left, and then I looked over to my right. I saw him slump over in his chair forward. He slumped over. He had blood coming from the left side of his neck down his shirt, and he slumped over, and he was carried off.
Get off me! Get off me!
Motions are running high right now.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, that's of little substance. I thought that we knew the shooter was, as you're looking at Charlie, from the left. You could see the shirt kind of flip. And the idea would be that, I don't know whether it was, you know, kind of hit his collarbone, but it's as though it entered and then exited out the neck. And that, it hit just right. That was nothing particular revelatory, as far as I know, as far as whether it would indicate either a separate shooter or a second shooter or anything like that. So probably nothing more than just interest of, you know, possible revelation. But I am not seeing a revelation there. Just thought, since it was on my list, we'd go ahead and listen to it together. One other thing I might go ahead and try to find is this post about how maybe the first shooter then basically had said to somebody, I don't think it's audio, I think it's only a post that I saw, that, hey, you know, I was there just to kind of distract. I knew about it, but my job is a semi-distract. Now, again, I'll have to find that. I may not be able to find it, but I'm just stating that here so that maybe you can find. I just save these things and go look at them later. But in the meantime, then, let me tell you, I think who they're talking about is this Michael Mallinson, who is the older white gentleman who looks to be in his, you know, somewhere in his mid-50s to mid-60s, quote, a supposed registered Democrat in Utah. So that was, you know, early news. This post, I don't even see the date, 3:04 on that day. So I'll see if I can find that post where they thought that he actually admitted to the idea that there was a conspiracy. Maybe I won't find it, but give me just a moment and I'll see if I can. Well, unfortunately, no luck on finding that, but that's okay. It still served the purpose here of, you know, giving a little bit better direct evidence of the idea that Charlie Kirk had changed his tune. And, you know, Netanyahu can say all he wants, the opposite. Other people knew better as far as Charlie Kirk's, positions come about June or July of this year. The thing, too, is that interestingly, I don't know if it's a permanent co-host, but the new co-host, at least, of the Charlie Kirk show is Ben Shapiro, who, as far as he goes, is okay. But one thing you can never, ever, 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 ever mistake him for is someone who's going to start to be critical of Israel's actions. So he has stepped in as a co-host of the Charlie Kirk show, along with Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles. There will not be any from the Charlie Kirk show. What has now been adjusted is we go from all Israel all the time, all the way up until about mid-2025, to where it wasn't all Israel all the time. And then Now it is. And I did watch that Shapiro deal, and I'm not saying he had anything to do with it or was disingenuous, but very dramatic. Pick up the bloodstained microphone where Charlie left it. I don't think we realize he meant literally on the show. But anyway, is what it is, guys. Again, I don't know what happened. All of this is, again, to emphasize there's room and reason for the FBI to be motivated to do what all investigations are supposed to involve, which is very comprehensive and exhaustive research and interviews and tracing down leads and the like. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.